Our Bible reading is from the New Testament book of Luke. From chapter 18, we will read verses 1 through 8. In the New King James Version Pew Bible, we're on page 1494. Before we read, let us pray. Speak, Lord, for your servants listen. Amen. Luke 18. Then Jesus spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, "Get justice for me from my adversary." And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, "Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." Then the Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that God will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. A sheep needed rescue. Trapped at the base of a rugged cliff in Scotland was a sheep. On one side was a steep, unyielding rock. On the other was the vast ocean. The sheep had been stranded alone for 2 long years. There had been several failed rescue attempts. Finally, a determined farmer named Cammy Wilson and 4 friends attempted a risky rescue mission. 3 members of the team carefully descended about 820 feet down the side of the cliff. With a lot of courage and determination, they used a winch to successfully lift the sheep out of her dire situation. In our daily bread for June the 24th, 2025, Marvin Williams recounts this story with the title, "The God Who Rescues." God is our rescuer. God is our avenger. God is on our side when no one else either cares or has the courage. Why take such a risk for one sheep or one soul? Jesus spoke a parable. The author Luke identifies the reason for the story. Jesus told a parable to them that people always ought to pray and not lose heart. Pray persistently and do not be discouraged. There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. A judge is a person who's responsible for bringing justice, deciding what is right and what is wrong, and being sure that right happens. A godly judge, a person who has fear or reverence for God, considers, what does God say about this? Or what does Scripture, what does the Bible say? What does my conscience say? Regarding man, some people decide it's not up to God. Humans are capable of rational thinking. If we think about it rationally and long enough, we'll come up with the right answer. It'll be a decision of justice that other humans will acknowledge as right, and we will have their respect. In the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, Moses reminded the Israelites in chapter 1, verses 16 through 17, of the instructions for their system of judges. "Judges shall not show partiality in judgment. You shall hear the small as well as the great. You shall not be afraid in any man's presence, for the judgment is God's." An American judge is sworn in with the following oath: "I do solemnly swear that I will administer justice without respect to persons and do equal right to the poor and to the rich, and that I will faithfully and impartially discharge and perform all the duties incumbent upon me as judge under the Constitution and laws of the United States." Similarly, an American juror receives the following oath: "Do you and each of you solemnly swear that you will well and truly try and a true deliverance made between the United States and the defendant at the bar and a true verdict render according to the evidence, so help you God?" In our United States courts, a prayer is offered: "May God save the United States and its honorable court." Anytime we make a judgment, we should consider making it as God would. Not so for the judge in Jesus' parable. He didn't reverence God. He didn't respect people. There was a widow in that city, and she came to the judge saying, "Get justice for me, for my adversary." Widows and orphans were at the most risk in that society. Their voices often went unheard. The judge would not grant her justice for a while, but afterward, he said within himself, Though I do not fear God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." Our English translations say, "weary me." The literal meaning is "hit under the eye." The judge felt as if she were beating him up, giving him a black eye. He didn't care what God said. He didn't care what people thought. He didn't care what about the widow or her cause, but she wore him down. He was manhandled by this widow. Jesus said, "Hear what the unjust judge said." What the unjust judge said is, "I'll avenge her, I'll grant her justice, I will honor her request." Now, Jesus told this parable to encourage us to pray and not lose heart. And he goes on to say, "Shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them?" Now, the parable is not a teaching of similarity, but contrast. God is different than an unjust judge. God is patient and does not get weary of us. God will be our advocate and avenge us. God will do what is right. In Deuteronomy 10:17-18, Moses had this to say about God: "The Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. He administers justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing." Jesus said, "Shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them?" Jesus informs us that God's justice will not always come as quickly as we like. Thus, we are to pray without losing hope. Jesus concluded, "I tell you that God will avenge his elect speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" God's elect is those who have responded to God's calling and have answered, "Here am I, speak, Lord, to me." They receive Jesus. And Jesus is saying, "But how many will I find who have faith?" The word faith comes from the Greek word which means to persuade. The true Christian faith means to be completely persuaded that there's no other truth apart from the living Word of God on which one might build one's life. It's not human logic, or it's not our human feelings. In his book, Waiting, Finding Hope When God is Silent, Ben Patterson writes that faith is built upon God, the foundation of three things about God: God's perfect love, God's perfect wisdom, God's perfect power. They're like a three-legged stew. There's no combination of two that will do. It takes all three for faith to stand. A strong believer believes that God wills only what is best for us. This is God's love. And that God knows what is best for us. This is God's wisdom. And that God is able to do what is best for us. This is God's power. The key to a strong faith is a close fellowship with God. When we know intimately the God on whose word we trust, it becomes easier to trust him when we have no other assurances but God's word. There was a young sailor in a Robert Louis Stevenson book, and waves were crashing over the ship along the rocky coast, and one sailor who was toiling below the waterline, he just couldn't contain himself. In a panic, he stumbled up the stairs to the central room where he just watched in terror as the captain grappled with the control as he tried to steer the huge ship through the rocks to open water. The captain looked at the scared sailor and he smiled. The sailor smiled back and he went down below, back to the deck, to tell the crew everything's going to be all right. And when they asked him, said, "Well, how do you know?" He said, "I've seen the face of the captain and he smiled at me." It wasn't yet okay, but the sailor trusted the captain. Much of our lives is not yet okay, but we trust the captain of our lives. We trust God. We learn to live faith by living faith. Theologian, priest, and leader of the Protestant Reformation, Martin Luther wrote, "This life, therefore, is not righteousness, but it's growth in righteousness. It's not health, but it's healing. It's not being, but becoming. It's not rest, it's exercise. We're not yet what we shall be, but we're growing toward it. The process is not yet finished, but it's going on. This is not the end of the road, but it is the road. All does not yet gleam in glory, but all is being purified." Now, God's not demanding perfection, but God is asking for faith. When the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Carol Ladd wrote a book, The Power of a Positive Woman, and the publisher is Howard Publishing. Admittedly, I don't usually pay too much attention to the publishing company. However, Howard Publishing put the purpose of their company on the title page. Our purpose at Howard Publishing is to increase faith in the hearts of growing Christians, to inspire holiness in the hearts of believers, and instill hope in the hearts of struggling people everywhere, because he's coming again. Increase faith, inspire holiness, instill hope because Jesus is coming again. And Jesus asked the question, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Let us be among the faithful. Let us persist in prayer. Let us be determined in prayer. God is listening. God is close. Sir Isaac Newton was a gifted English scientist, astronomer, mathematician, and philosopher. One day, Isaac Newton was drinking tea in his garden, saw an apple fall from the tree to the ground, and suddenly realized that it was the same force which holds the sun and the moon in its orbits and keeps humans firmly planted on Earth. He discovered the law of universal gravitation. Now, Isaac Newton had many other accomplishments, including constructing the first reflecting telescope. He had many accomplishments, and he was also admirable in his deep faith. In fact, using the telescope as an illustration, he gave us a beautiful picture of prayer. I can take my telescope and I can look millions and millions of miles into space, but I can lay my telescope aside, go into my room and shut the door, get down on my knees, and in earnest prayer, I can see more of heaven and get closer to God than when I'm assisted by all the telescopes and the material agencies on Earth. Isn't it wonderful to know that the God of the universe is close at hand? We don't have to travel to distant lands or the deepest regions of space to find the great and mighty Creator. As Isaac Newton said, it's in earnest prayer that we see heaven and get close to God. God is perfect love. God is perfect wisdom. God is perfect power. Faith is trusting God, the perfect judge, to do what is right, and at the right time, even when we don't understand. Last Tuesday, I went to the funeral of Dr. Matthew Daniel Arney, age 50, of Moody, Alabama. He and his wife, Bonnie, have two children, Andrew 12 and Emma 10. They are members of Community Presbyterian Church in Moody. He was a gifted professor at Samford, at Birmingham Theological Seminary, and Colorado Christian University. He had a PhD in New Testament. Not only did he have a head full of knowledge about God, he had a heart filled with the love of God. Everything he did was filled with love and laughter, purpose, and a sense of game. He made everyone feel seen, heard, and valued. A fungal infection called aspergillosis invaded his body. Medical teams and prayer warriors did all they could to combat this disease. Matt is remembered for his love of teaching the Bible, his quick wit, his generous heart, and steadfast faith. He encouraged others with his faith. Do we always understand the justice of God? No. Let us, however, answer Jesus' question with a resounding yes. When the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Yes. Let us pray. Almighty God, we have faith in you. Help us to have determined faith. In Jesus' name, amen.